The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike on a very crazy week, a week that, like no other, I've got Andy Searles on the line. Andy was with the Better Man event that is coming up tomorrow. It's finally here. Of course, Andy's also the pastor at Church Together in Castleberry. Welcome back to my program, my friend.
Mike, I am so glad to be with you. As you said, it has been quite a week in our nation, but by the grace of God, we're looking forward to quite a weekend in Central Florida as well.
It is. And you had mentioned something funny about the week. You know, give us that quote again that you heard about the week.
Yeah, I was just reading on Twitter before we came on air, and someone posted, "What a year this week has been."
It feels that way. I think all of us are a little bit on the sleep-deprived side, and we're all just trusting the Lord for our country, thankful for the United States of America. And I know there's a lot of people listening that might fall on either side of what their hopes were for the presidential contest that, as we are speaking, is still being greatly contested, and this thing is probably going to end up in the courts, and who knows how it is going to shake out in the end, or even for that matter, when it will end. We don't know that yet, but either way, our trust ultimately is in God. And you know, Andy, in times like this, I'm so grateful that we can say that and believe it.
Yeah, and it's funny, so often in times like this, when everything seems so unstable and so shaky and maybe even a little bit scary, it's moments like this that our faith kind of makes the most difference, right? And I don't know about you, but this has really been a litmus test of my faith as the states have turned blue and red and blue and red and back to blue and red again. I've had to say to myself, you know, hey, what do I really trust in here? And as we ask that question, the answer is Jesus and his kingdom and his authority over our land. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster, but I'm grateful that that God has not left us. He's not abandoned us. He loves us, and he's working out his plans and his promises that transcend the challenges that our politics are offering right now.
You know, you talk to a lot of people, of course, with the Better Man event. You're in touch with all of the speakers that are coming in. And I know that you also are one that keeps up on things here in the country. You are not, obviously, one can hear that you're not exactly from the Midwest originally, but you've made America your home for how many years now, Andy?
I've been here for about 20 years. I was kind of in the Midwest of England, so Mike.
So. Well, there you go. Wrong Midwest. That's awesome.
But yeah, it has been interesting this week, looking at it through the lens as an American now, and what does this mean, but also having my perspective from England too, which gives me a different historical context to process things through. So, yeah, very interesting. Interesting times.
They are indeed, and I'm just wondering what the kind of the general feel that you're picking up from folks as how are they responding to the way the process has gone this time around, which it's very reminiscent in a lot of ways to 2020. I'm sorry, 2000, the year, 20 years ago, I started to say, when there was the several week up in the air, backwards and forwards waiting period between Al Gore and George W. Bush. And now we're kind of waiting in the same way. What are you hearing?
Well, I think I'm probably primarily hearing three things, Mike. First of all, I'm hearing, I want my guy to win. depending on, you know, who your guy is. I mean, we all want those that we voted for to win. That's why we voted them. So, you know, one, I want my guy to win. I think secondly, I'm hearing from folks, I want the process to be fair, right? However the outcome falls, so be it. But it's really important that we get to the outcome in the right way. So I hear this kind of call for integrity and honesty in the voting. And that's why I'm you know, pleased that in some states we're kind of double checking things just so we can be super sure that things are accurate. So some folks are saying, I want my guy to win. Some folks are saying, I want the process to be fair. But I also hear some folks saying, can't it just be over and get on with whatever's next? And I understand a little bit of that sentiment as well.
You know, there is a fatigue factor that really does come into play at some point. And, you know, I like what we heard from one of my interviews, which I had several of them. He was on 3 days in a row, and I'm talking about Dave Zanotti from the Public Square. And he made a very, what I think is a very wise, informed, and very comforting statement when he said that our republic, as it stands, as where we are, it's stronger than any one man. It's stronger than any one political push. And we do have checks and balances. I read that Wall Street was greatly relieved when the Senate held on to the their position, because that does give in the Congress a balance of power. It's not all leaning in one party. So we do have a little bit of check and balance going there. But to hear Dave Zanotti say that, that was very comforting to me. Dave has been a policymaker in this country for 40 years. So he knows his stuff. He's studied. He is much more aware than the average citizen certainly would be, much more educated in government and its ways than certainly am I. But I love this stuff and follow the best I can. But how wonderful it is at the end of the day to realize two things, that our country is stronger than any one man. And secondly, we all can take great hope and great comfort in the fact that God is sovereign. And that's not going to change either.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's great. I mean, I feel that the tiredness and the fatigue on election night, you know, I kept saying, no, I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock. And then it was 10:30 and 11:30. And it was like eating some Pringles. You know, you can't just have one. You have to stay and finish the whole tube. So I saw that. But I'm a big believer that right process leads to right result. And so if we can do things with integrity and honesty, which I see happening in many places, and let's double check where we've got any questions just so we can absolutely sure, you know, right process will lead to right results. Our God values integrity and he values character. And so one of those bonds that strengthens us as a nation is when we have elections like this that are full of integrity and honesty. And so if we can protect that, then I think we're in good shape, whatever happened. I do agree as well, and I'm pleased that we got some balance of powers. I think that was a genius way to set up government in the U.S., and in many ways, balance is in everybody's best interests.
You still have family back in the U.K., don't you?
I do, and they're all on a lockdown again. Last Thursday, the government said, okay, everyone back indoors. We're not doing this too well. So they're on lockdown for a month now as they continue to fight the pandemic.
Well, I wonder about that one, too, whether we're going to see any, let's just say, an end to the lockdown threat that's there, or for that matter, an end to the way that we're all having to mitigate the pandemic, even in Florida. I think Florida is in a lot better condition than many states with regards to businesses being able to at least operate, and travel is for the most part open again, although I think it is curtailed. And then we have the schools that are operating right now. So Florida is holding its own, and from what I'm hearing, we're doing okay with regards to the statistics of reinfections and things like that as well. So you know, depending on who one talks to and depending on what part of the country they're in, there's a lot of range of thoughts and opinions about all of that. But one of the things that we do know, lockdowns are not good for our economy. And the longer a lockdown, the more difficult things are. And how are things being perceived in the UK, to talk about one of our friends across the pond? How are things being perceived there from what's going on in the American government? What are you hearing there?
I think the rest of the world is watching America right now and looking to see what happens and coming to conclusions about what has happened and what will happen and what it says about America. I've been surprised in some ways by the huge amount of interest, you know, from certainly the British and around the world on what's happening here. And I think sometimes we forget that while, you know, the president is a uniquely American leader, because of the size and scope and influence of our country, he's also a global leader as well. And who we pick as president has implications on a global level rather than just America. Mm-hmm. So I think folks are watching. Again, some people are finding it incredulous. Some people are perhaps laughing and mocking and teasing a little bit, but everybody's watching.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's watching, and we're all wondering because there are so many ramifications. And I think one of the concerns that on most people's mind that is the great unknown is exactly what is going to happen with regards to the direction, governmentally speaking, of our country. Are we going to stay kind of in classical, historic America, or are we going to continue, from a government standpoint, this leftward-leaning, progressive thought? And, you know, hearing some of the things that happened that had nothing to do with a presidential outcome, But thinking in terms of some of the laws that were passed, it boggles my mind to understand that in Oregon, laws protecting some drugs, recreational drugs especially, were changed dramatically in the Northwest to actually make some legality for drugs like heroin. And, you know, Andy, that just shocks me to think that we could be coming there in a time where there's an opioid crisis. Dependence, addictions are at, in some ways, all-time highs, and yet parts of our country with a progressive leaning is making it not against the law. So what does that do to drug dealers out in the Northwest? That's a question I think a lot of people are asking right now.
Yeah, and I'm just left scratching my head at some of those kind of decisions, Mike. I think sometimes we can delve down too deep in decisions and we get lost in the details that we forget the main point, right? The drugs like heroin are not only incredibly addictive, but they're also incredibly dangerous. I've been involved in trying to understand a little bit of the opioid crisis in Florida with Sheriff Dennis Lima and Seminole County and some other folks. And we really are in a crisis when it comes to opioids and drug addiction and overdoses. And it's not a certain part of the population that's struggling. I mean, everybody is. And so to legitimize something that seems so harmful feels very confusing to me, and I'm not quite sure what to do with that other than let it push me to my knees, to beg and plead God for wisdom and to seek to live my life in a way that influences for good. Mike, this Sunday at church, I've just been prepping this morning as we get ready. I'm talking from Ephesians 5, where Paul says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking about how we have a responsibility, especially now as Christians, to influence the world for the better, for good. And I think one of the challenges with drunkenness and addiction and drugs is that it influences us in the wrong way to do dumb and stupid and unwise things. But mm-hmm. if we're influenced by the Holy Spirit if we're influenced by the word of God, then we can maybe start to turn the corner on some of these things as well. But, you know, on one hand, I'm left sitting in my chair, scratching my head. But on the other hand, I find myself falling to my knees in prayer. It is a strange, strange time to be a Christian in this mm-hmm. broken world.
One of the great quotes from a quoting machine, and that was Ronald Reagan, he mm-hmm. said something, just paraphrasing his quote, he said, when we stop being one nation under God, we'll be a nation that's gone under. And, you know, that is a concerning reality that we're looking at. Some of the hallmark values that not only we in our lifetime, but the framers still to this day, we have a lot of those laws, for the most part, still on our books. But the amazing thing is this progressive atmosphere in our country, especially in certain pockets of the country, they're not enforcing those original laws. And judges are kind of legislating from the bench in many cases and functioning as lawmakers with some rulings that are basically putting these things that just make no sense at all to American values, to even what is safe, like you said. Some of these laws that are now they've voted in make no sense at all from a health standpoint. And at a time when you've got so many people in prisons across the country for drug dealing, I wonder what they're thinking right now, Andy. I wonder if this means a ticket for me out of the prison because of the fact that what I was put in prison for, what I was guilty doing, in some ways, it's now legal. How can that be?
Well, that's it. I mean, every decision has all kinds of ramifications, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm grateful for those who have been freed and rescued from addictions and have a testimony to tell. And maybe one of the things we need to do more earnestly now as believers is to lovingly yet strongly and powerfully speak the truth of a God who sets us free. So many are living with the pain, the hardship, the loss, the regret of drugs. But the way to kind of get over that is not to move the goalposts. It's to receive forgiveness and mm-hmm. offer forgiveness, because it's in forgiveness that we find freedom. But Mike, sometimes I don't know what to say. It's just a crazy, strange time.
It is. And, you know, we can armchair quarterback this all day long. And at the end of the day, it's probably not going to make a lot of difference. But I think it does help me to talk about it. It helps me at least to kind of purge my mind and say, what in the world is going on and why?
Well, Mike, that's why I value our friendship and this opportunity, because there is something healing and wise about talking about it. I often find if we kind of left to our own devices, we tend to stew on things and our mind kind of quickly drifts towards the negative.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can have a thoughtful, rational conversation with each other, then maybe we can come to good solutions. Unfortunately, many have lost the art of being able to have good conversations. And much of our conversation is just an aggressive soundbite on social media. That's not a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. To sit down with humility, with a tender tone, to share our hearts, to do so with great respect is how we'll not just resolve our differences, but how we'll heal our land as well. So one of the things that I hope emerges out of what is obviously a very, very divided nation is that we say, hey, we got a problem, and we start to have the right conversations to lead towards healing. And we have to have those, as I said, tenderly, thoughtfully, humbly, and in soft-spoken but strong ways.
That's wonderful. I've got Andy Searles on the line today, and Andy and I will be back in a moment. We're going to be talking about the fact that tomorrow, that is Saturday, November the 7th, back in May, it seemed like this date would never come. And we thought, well, when it did come, it was going to be down at Silver Spurs Arena. and it's actually not going to be there. It's going to be at First Baptist in Orlando, and it's going to be in living rooms, in business meeting rooms, in churches across the country, and even in spots around the world, because it has gone global via streaming. That's the Better Man event, which takes place tomorrow night. And Andy is a board member with Better Man Event. We're going to be back with him coming up in just a moment right here on The Shepherd. It is always a fun day when Andy Searles is on the radio with me. Andy is the pastor at Church Together in Castleberry, and he's also a board member for a very special, long-awaited, much-anticipated event called the Better Man Event. And Andy, you know, that's tomorrow night now. Just let's go through, first of all, a kind of like an outlay of what's going to happen tomorrow night in Orlando and then broadcast around the world.
Yeah, so the Better Man Event, we are having a 16th Better Man tomorrow. It's going to be hosted from First Baptist Church in Orlando. And as you said, it's going to be, we are so excited, not just because of those who are going to be viewing, and we can talk some numbers in a little bit, not just because of what it's going to do to make men better in our world, which is something I think we desperately need now. But we're really excited right now because God is fulfilling a promise that he's given. He's pulled together an incredible group of speakers of diverse backgrounds, diverse politics, diverse experiences, and he's putting them on the one stage, and all these different folks are pointing people in the same direction to Jesus, the mm-hmm. best man who makes us better men. And so starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, we have an incredible evening. We have rap hip hop artist Lecrae coming. We have Sammy Rodriguez, who's a dynamic pastor in California, coming to speak with us. Many of your listeners will know Daryl Strawberry and Mariano Rivera. They're going to be with us and sharing some of their stories. And we have a fantastic comedian as well called Johnny W, who will make us laugh, which I think is something we all need after this.
Yes. Oh, I love the Bible. It talks about a merry heart doing good like medicine. And I think we do. We need that merriment from laughter and joy that Johnny W brings. And he's one of those guys that can seemingly find humor in the most just everyday of life activities. And he's got a wonderful way of bringing that perspective into humor. And it's just really great. So he's going to be a real bright spot in that lineup. Now, you mentioned, go ahead.
And of course, Mike, you know, we're thrilled that you're going to be there and the Shepherd Radio will be there. And we're excited that you're going to be able to get some interviews. So your listeners will have a little taste of the Better Man, and also some of that humor that you talk about from Johnny as well.
You've got it. I'm really excited to do that Monday show. A part of Tuesday show probably will also be dedicated to some of these events that are going on at the Better Man event. You know, we've had Brian on, we've had Jamie Wilburn on. Of course, you've been on talking about this. The event itself kind of started off with just a heart to see men do just exactly what the name implies, become better. When you think about that, Andy, how would you describe, how can a man who is wanting to do the right thing, how can we, and what would be the first steps should we take in order to better our lives? What do you tell a person when you're talking to somebody about that?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to realize that you haven't arrived yet, and there is lots of room to get better. You know, I think sometimes that's one of the reasons God allows us to be married and to be in relationships and have kids, because we have constant reminders, right, that there's a higher standard for us to look towards and to lean into. So I think for me, the first thing that I think of when posed with that question is just to realize I need to become better, that I am fallen. I do let down those I love. I do make mistakes that are costly, and I don't want to live in them and beat myself up too much about them, but I do want to listen to the call and the challenge to get better. Mm-hmm. I know that I can become better as a husband. So does my wife. I know that I can need to become better as a dad. I know that I need to become better as a pastor. Folks in my congregation will tell you that. I know that I need to become a better leader. Those that I serve will tell you that. And so the first thing is to realize, I believe, that there is more ahead for us. In fact, if we read the scriptures correctly, there is immeasurably more ahead for us than we can hope for or imagine. So one, I would say, realize there's more. And then secondly, I'd probably say, hold on to the one who offers more. In the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, we read that Jesus came that we can have life in all its fullness. That's the more, that's the better that we're hoping for. So as we realize that we're not everything we think we are, we must hold on to the one who offers abundantly beyond everything that we need. So how do we become a better man? We look to Jesus. And so through the Better Man event, we want to point men, both those in the church, those who've fallen for a long time or just a little time, and especially those who don't yet know God. We want to encourage them to point to Jesus, because Jesus is the best man who invites us to become better man.
That's well said. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, this is such a great and I think oft quoted passage of scripture here. It says, chapter 4, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. And I love this, Andy, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. I think one of the best things that will happen tomorrow night in the Better Man event is the fact that men can have one more step forward in this area of not living independently, of not living alone, of not living without any eyes on their lives or help along the way. We all, every man, I believe, in order to become a better man, we all need to realize that we need each other in a very specific way. Accountability, encouragement, just the fact that when we see that other men identify with the problems that we are facing in our lives, those things alone, those things go a long way, don't they, in making us to be stronger. I love that verse from Ecclesiastes, pity the person who's alone. Pity the person who doesn't have somebody that's a brother that's there for them. I think that's very encouraging to realize that's a great motivation to be part of something where we're not alone.
Absolutely. In fact, as we read in Genesis, God looked at humanity. He looked at us and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And I think we're seeing why it's not good for men to be alone all over our society today. Divorce rates, absentee fathers, suicide, opioids, the whole thing. We need each other. And Jamie, I've been talking to Jamie a lot recently. Mike, one of the almost prophetic now words that God gave to us about Better Man last year as we were planning for this year was the theme Better Together. Right? Acknowledging, as you say, that we can't do it on our own, that if we are alone, then we're heading in the wrong direction. We're heading to all kinds of trouble. And so we came up with this idea of being better together. And here we are, about 18 months later, mm-hmm. calling men into relationship with God and relationship with one another to stand in unity before God in the midst of a country that's arguably never been this divided before. Mm-hmm. That tagline, that theme that we came up with about 18 months ago seems now to be very clearly guided by God as we challenge men, don't go it alone. You don't have to live on your own. We can get better together. So let me just plug the event. You know, guys who are listening today, if you're feeling lonely, overwhelmed, stressed, struggling, which, by the way, most men are, then head to the bettermanevent.com. Buy a ticket for tomorrow night. Honestly, just show up. Say Andy sent you, and we'll let you in, because we want you to see that there are brothers in your situation who want to stand with you and ensure that you don't try and get through life alone,
mm-hmm.
and that you can find someone to lean into and onto as we realize that we are better together.
Are tickets still available for the live presentation?
They are. Now, we're having it at First Baptist Church. We've got all kinds of social distancing, safety precautions in place. But we do have a few seats still available. And if you'd like to come, you can buy them online. They're $25. I tell you what, Mike, let me give the listeners a discount code as well. I think it's BME15, and that will get you your ticket for $15 rather than $25.
Mm.
But honestly, here's the deal. If someone's listening now and they're really struggling and they need to be around other men who can support them and care for them, just show up, go to the will call office and say, "Hey, Andy's got a ticket for me," and we'll get you in, because really this is about changing men's lives and challenging men to get better, and we don't get better alone.
Better together. That is a great theme. Now, one of the things that happened that really surprised every person is the pandemic that took over. And when that happened, obviously the Better Man event, as we mentioned earlier, had been planned for the month of May. And it was going to be down in the south part of Central Florida, down in the Silver Spurs Arena. And the dream was to see it grow even more than what we had last year at UCF when it was so packed out. Obviously, the pandemic happened. That got canceled. And then real quickly into that time frame, I don't know who had the idea, but somebody there in your movement came up with the idea of doing these Better Man moments. And really, it was shocking that we became thrilled at the Shepherd to be a partner with you guys in this. And we put, I think it was like 50 consecutive days. Mm-hmm. There were men from Central Florida and beyond that around the world. Some of them would have been some of the very speakers and leaders that either have spoken at previous events or they're going to be on the tab for this year's event. But they brought these 1 to 2 minute type of videos, and we took the audio from those videos and put them on the Shepherd every day for, like I said, 50 days. So almost 2 months, we had a thought coming from these people that was aimed at helping men do exactly what we're talking about, be better together.
Yeah, it was really a crazy story. You know, for a number of years now, Mike, we've kind of been, you know, invited, and we've toyed around the idea, does God want the Better Man event to grow beyond Orlando? We know that there's men all over the country and all over the world who need to become better, but, you know, we just didn't have the space, the capacity to do that. And so we kind of kept saying, no, God's called us to Orlando. Let's focus there. And then, you know, as you said, COVID came and, you know, changes came and we couldn't meet in person at Silver Spurs. And I forget the phrase, it's not like crisis is the mother of opportunity or something like that. Necessity is the mother of opportunity, something like that. And so we kind of said, okay, well, what options do we have? And so obviously, everyone's discovering all this new technology now, and it's kind of becoming mainstream. So we said, well, what would it look like if we made this a virtual event? And then here we are, 6-7 months later. And Mike, you will not believe what God has done. Tomorrow night from Orlando, we have over 550 host sites for the Better Man event. 550. Our goal was 500, and that'll probably increase over the next couple of days. But that's people's homes where guys are inviting their brothers and their buddies together to sit and watch it. That's businesses who are inviting their employees to come and receive what we're offering. That's churches who are saying to them, man, hey, bring a friend to this event because it could change their life. So 550 host sites. Get this. It's going to be in 34 different states. Mm. Now, again, we couldn't have got there on our own. It really is only God who could orchestrate this. But God has taken us into 34 different states and 16 different countries.
Oh, my goodness.
So none of this was on our radar 6 months ago. We were just trying to hold our event as we have done previously. Mm-hmm. But God says, I got more for you. This theme, better together, is so important for men to hear right now. Let me kind of expand this a little bit. And technology, honestly, has made it easy to expand. But we're in a place now where we couldn't have led to, and where we only are because of the goodness of God. 550 host sites in 34 states in 16 countries.
That's just amazing. Congratulations on that. And I'm so excited for Brian. You know, Brian is a humble man. You know, I had him on the show, heard his story, and really just out of a heart, his only heart was to do what God wanted him to do. And he had a burden. He had a burden for men, and that it just grew. And God just blessed them. And, you know, he's got so many people like yourself, like Jamie, who is working just so hard, tirelessly. You guys have been at this thing, I know, for months now. And Lord knows how many Zoom calls, Andy. Have you ever kept up with how many calls you've taken? I'm sure it's crazy.
Well, I am pretty diligent in tracking my time and things like that. So Jamie, this year I have had 85 Better Man meetings. I'm just looking at my stats.
Oh my goodness.
So it's been a lot, but you mentioned Brian's humility. And he really is a humble guy. He's a great leader, but he reminds me that God is looking for humble men through whom he can do great things, mm-hmm. right? Part of our male problem, certainly in the US, is that we think, you know, the more powerful, the more influential, the more aggressive we are, the more we get done. But Jesus says, no, 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 guys, you got it the wrong way. In fact, you've got it upside down. It's whoever wants to be the least will become the greatest. Whoever is the servant of all is the one who has the influence. And Brian and many others on our team model that humility. And when a person is surrendered to God, whether it's someone like Brian, whether it's someone like you, whether it's someone like your listener in their car right now, or the person who's sitting on their couch in their home right now, if you will humble yourself before God, God will use you in ways way beyond what you can imagine right now. That's Brian's story. And I believe that there are hundreds of thousands of stories that God wants to write in people's lives. And I'm hoping that he'll kick off a few more of those as we gather tomorrow.
Yep. Tomorrow is the time. That's 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And it's going to emanate from First Baptist. And that's in Orlando. That's First Baptist Orlando. And the speakers are going to be, and you help me out here, see if I can get these. It's going to be Lecrae. He's going to be there. Mario Rivera, who is a great, just an amazing Hall of Famer type of pitcher from the Yankees. Of course, Daryl Strawberry, another great baseball legend turned pastor, turned man of God who loves the Lord. And he's going to be there. We're also talking about Johnny W., a comedian who is just wonderful. I think, do I have this right? Brian Head Welch will be there?
You know, I don't know. You know, Brian is a great friend of the ministry, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he shows up. I know that his pastor, Justin Miller from Real Life, will be there. Brian, Justin is hosting the segment with Lecrae, so he'll be there. But yeah, we'll probably have one or two surprises. And again, I would just appeal to the guys who are listening today. Feel free to join us. You're looking for something to do on a Saturday night in Orlando, grab some buddies and come join us safely at First Baptist Church. I promise you.
And then Sammy
you will not regret it.
Sammy Rodriguez is going to be the speaker. He'll have the lead message that will be coming tomorrow night. And he's a well-known speaker, well-known pastor in the western part of the country. And he's going to be there. Wow, this is exciting. It's called the Better Man Event. It happens at 7 o'clock tomorrow night live. But again, in all of these 500-plus locations around the country, as people have become home sites, 34 states of our great country.
34 states.
And yeah. Then in how many countries represented? 16, was it?
16 countries.
Oh,
16 countries.
That is success. Wow. And that that web address is bettermanevent.com.
And people, that's correct. Bettermanevent.com.
Andy Searles is with me. We're going to be back in just a moment for one final segment talking about how do we look at things that are going on from the standpoint of a biblical worldview? How does the Bible impact our attitudes? We're going to talk about that coming up in a moment. That's coming up after this break here on Afternoons with Mike. Back on the line with Andy Searles from Better Man Event. Andy's also a pastor at Church Together in Castleberry. Gotta say, I love the name of your church, and that carries a message that is so needed and so appropriate. Boy, you couldn't go along better with a Better Man Event theme this year, Better Together. You guys do church together, and I know you have a real heart for people, and you pastor those people, Andy, with the same kind of care, the same type of outlook and faith that we've been talking about all through this program. One of the things that struck me as I'm talking with you today, our country is in need. We are all in need, always, of understanding that regardless of the uncertainty of our future, we serve a God who is over that future. I spoke last Sunday morning in Gainesville at my old church. I was privileged to be asked to come up there and speak. And I brought a message from Romans 15. And in that message, Paul is getting ready. He thinks he's getting ready to go to Rome. And he's writing the Romans, obviously. And he's letting them know his great desire and explains what had held him back. And what basically had held him back all these years was the work of the ministry that God had called him to do in Macedonia and throughout the Asia Minor. But his desire for a long time had been to go there. And now it looked like he was going to finally be done with that part of the world, and he was going to get to take this trip to Rome. Well, he was partly right. He was on his way to Jerusalem to drop off an offering, but he was not going to make it the same way that he thought he was going to make it to Rome. He was ultimately going to make it as a prisoner. Sometimes our plans are put on a little bit of a different course than what we thought they were going to go. But as a believer, we have the confidence, don't we, that God is in control of that course. When you pastor people, how do you help them through the uncertainty of their future?
I think one of the greatest, most important things we can do is encourage people to trust God. I know that sounds so cliche, but it's a cliche because it's so powerfully true. When we trust God, we don't always get where we want to go, but we get where God wants us to go, which is ultimately infinitely better than where we wanted to go. As you were talking about Paul, you know, that principle of getting where he needed to go in an unconventional way is the story of Better Man, as we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced it in my life. You know, I grew up in England, and if, you know, as I was wrapping up school, he says, hey, 20 years from now, you're going to be living in a little town called Castlebury where you're going to be doing this, 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 and this. I'd have said, you are kidding me. But in a roundabout wonderful way that God works, he's brought me to where I am now. And that gives me hope that there's so much more ahead. You know, so often we think that if we follow God's plan, it's going to be this straight line up and to the right with everything being clear and obvious and perfect. My experience, and I know yours, Mike, as well, is never like that. There are valleys, there are dips, there are struggles, there are losses, there are challenges. But as we hold on to God in that and through that, we trust that God is working through some of those darkest times to bring us to a better and brighter future than we could ever have achieved or accomplished on our own.
And, you know, that trip that we take that we weren't expecting, the route that the Lord has laid out for us that we might not have even wanted. Sometimes those surprises bring about, you know, the old silver lining that we've talked about for many years and the cliches. And our end, after all of those things take place, the end of us is better than what the beginning would have been had we got what we wanted, had we received the things that we thought we were going to get. And I really do believe that part of God's sovereignty is that in the surprise that he brings us, sometimes we didn't want them, but after they come, we wouldn't have it any other way. That's been my experience, like you said, and I know that's yours as well.
Absolutely. And I think in Christian circles and our theological circles, we have a beautiful, simple word for that we call grace, don't we? We don't deserve it. It's not linear, but it's available, and it's available to us through Jesus, who forgives us of all the missteps and mistakes that we've made, and allows us to use those empty paths that we've walked along to somehow create a richer, deeper path that leads us to him.
You know, something about Paul that I think his example really encourages me today. You know, he was warned by more than one way and by more than one person some of the dangers of going into Jerusalem. But you know what, Andy, even with those things, even with Agabus, who gave a pretty strong illustrative prophetic warning about what would happen if he did go into Jerusalem, even with all of that, Paul dug in, he put his shoulder down, and he marched into God's will for his life with confidence. And I think that's something that we can learn in a time like this, that even though we may not like aspects that it appears to be waiting for us right around the bend, when we're doing what God called us to do, when we find ourselves in the place that God's called us to be, we can have confidence that even if some of the things happen that we are facing, we don't like, the end of those things, the end result is still going to be following God and the confidence that we're in the middle of God's will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trust God. It seems so hard, so simple. I realize it's so hard, but God is so faithful. And so I would encourage your listeners today, friend, whatever you're going through, no matter how lost it feels, no matter how far it seems you've diverted from God's plan, perhaps where you are now is where God needs you to be to allow you to arrive at where he wants you to be in the richest, fullest way possible. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite scriptures is in Romans 8:28, where we're reminded that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his plan. So the challenge for us becomes to love God. If I can love God, if I can trust God, if I can listen to God, even in those dark, lost places, then there is a very real promise from him that he will use that dark and difficult experience to bring us into his glorious light and presence.
Wow. That's a great way to end this one today. And I thank you, my friend. Thanks for being with us. And we so look forward to all that God is going to do, not only in Orlando and Central Florida, but also around the world, as now 16 countries will be watching this event in real time. And some of them will even have the benefit, if it continues to grow, because it is streamed, that automatically means it's being recorded. And I know that some locations are going to be deferring their watching of this thing by having watch parties and basically watching the recording of this event. So we will be praying. We are praying. And we look forward to finding out how God made men to be better. Andy Searles, thank you so much for being with me today.
Mike, thank you so much. I can't wait to see you tomorrow, and I hope to get to meet some of your listeners as well.
God bless you, man. And thanks, friends, for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. Have a blessed weekend. We'll see you next week on Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd.